Like every nation, the United States has a right to control who enters our country and to keep out those who would do us harm.
Round one was an aggressive Trump roundup and deportation policy. Round two was some U.S. cities pledging to resist Trump enforcement on their territory. Round three, Trump says federal money will be withheld from so-called sanctuary cities. And round four, this week, a San Francisco judge blocked that punitive measure withholding funds from sanctuary cities in ways that violate the Constitution, although cities that have been explicitly warned by the Justice Department may have to comply. The court's decision on Tuesday is yet another left hook for the Trump administration's immigration policies, with implications in every U.S. jurisdiction. Minneapolis is one of these sanctuary cities that did not receive an explicit warning from the Justice Department. But Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges, who I spoke with last year, says she doesn't want the feds overruling her own peace officers.
We have had an ordinance since 2003 in Minneapolis that our police officers aren't going to do the work of the federal immigration folks, that it is a question of public safety, because if immigrant folks, if anybody doesn't feel safe calling the police, if witnesses to crime, if victims of crime can't call the police and feel safe, then we are a less safe city overall.
With an on-the-scene report of how one city is dealing with round four in the immigration dispute, Minnesota Public Radio's Brant Williams has more.
The third paragraph of the president's immigration order starts like this, quote, "Sanctuary jurisdictions across the United States willfully violate federal law in an attempt to shield aliens from removal from the United States." The order also says the government has the authority to define what a sanctuary jurisdiction is and then punish cities and counties for, as the order states, shielding aliens from removal. Minneapolis officials don't use the term sanctuary city.
There is no common definition of what is a sanctuary city. The city of Minneapolis has what we call a separation ordinance.
Minneapolis City Attorney Susan Siegel says that ordinance, passed in 2003, prohibits police and other city employees from asking about the immigration status of people they come into contact with.
Unless it's clearly relevant to a crime being investigated by law enforcement, or it's a requirement of a particular program. For example, all employers are required to obtain I-9 forms as part of the hiring process. So that would be an exception to our ordinance.
While Siegel believes the city doesn't fall under the executive order's definition of a sanctuary city, there are still concerns about what happens next, mainly the fear factor among immigrants, refugees, and asylum seekers living in the city. Minneapolis City Council Vice President Elizabeth Glidden says one of the main priorities for the city will be to reach out to residents who've come to Minneapolis from troubled countries.
Compared with other metropolitan areas, we do have a large number of people here who are here because they have been fleeing danger in their home countries. And the technical words are often asylees or refugees.
The countries those people are fleeing from are often places where corruption and abuse by government and law enforcement officials run rampant. So in the wake of an order which critics say threatens to blur the line between local and federal government and law enforcement, Glidden and others are trying to find ways to assure immigrants and refugees that they can trust city government.
We have the largest Somali American community in the United States, and this is a country that has seen unrest, that has seen the collapse of the government state, and people who have come here from Somalia have experienced that we can't even understand.
Glidden helped create a city task force, which began working in February. The group recently presented an update to the city council, which suggested the city create a legal defense fund for people fighting deportation. The other big worry for city leaders is that Minneapolis may be included in the administration's list of jurisdictions that are slated to be defunded. About $26 million, or 2% of Minneapolis's 2017 budget, comes from federal funds. The bulk of that, nearly $15 million, comes to the city in the form of grants targeted to fund a variety of programs, including community crime prevention, job training, and housing. The Minneapolis Police Department also receives about $1 million a year from the Department of Justice for a number of different public safety programs. The money is a fraction of the department's total budget. However, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has warned that those dollars could also be withheld. Minneapolis Police Chief Janae Harto said the impact of losing that money would be significant.
But I want to assure people that I don't believe, and the city of Minneapolis, we are not going to change the way we do business. It is not the role of local law enforcement to conduct immigration enforcement. We need the people in our communities. We need to have those relationships.
Harto is speaking to an audience of several hundred people at a forum on police-community relations hosted by Minnesota Public Radio. She said that when police are seen as agents of immigration enforcement, members of immigrant communities become less likely to reach out to report crimes, and that can leave many to live in fear and in silence. The Department of Homeland Security is already acting on the president's order. Recently, Immigration Customs Enforcement, commonly referred to as ICE, put the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office on a list of non-cooperative agencies. ICE claimed the Sheriff's Office put two Mexican nationals jailed for criminal offenses back on the streets despite a hold request. At a press conference, Hennepin County Sheriff Rich Stanek presented pictures showing the two men being released into ICE custody. The sheriff reiterated how he handles any hold requests from the agency.
If ICE wishes a person to remain in custody beyond the time that he or she is scheduled for release, they must get a court order or they must pick that person up at the time of his or her release from the jail.
Stanek also said for him to hold someone without a judicial order is against the law, and he asked for an apology from ICE. An ICE spokesman didn't apologize, but did say that the order allows local law enforcement to legally hold people like the two Mexican nationals for 48 hours. It's not clear if the most significant impact from the president's executive order on immigration enforcement will be to the city's coffers or its immigrant and refugee communities. Minneapolis city leaders appear to be preparing for both. For The Takeaway, I'm Brant Williams in Minneapolis.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.